When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Kool-Aid drinkers, oh boy, we are back again. Well, some of us are back. It's me, UJ, and I'm with. Thank you, Rud Dog. Thanks for joining in. Way to get the hint. Yeah, here we are again. It's the first day of camp, guys, we wanted to get a little pot out real quick here. The other guys couldn't make it tonight. But hopefully we'll see him next week on our next pod. We'll have a lot more to talk about next week when camp is in full swing. So, Rud Dog, it's the first day of camp. What are your impressions so far?
Yeah, buddy.
If anything.
My impressions. A lot of impressions, you know. Good stuff around, pretty much. So a lot of people getting healthy. Guys stepping up, making plays. You know, things are looking good.
Okay. I heard JMO had a big reception in the practice today. Long bomb. Ran away from everybody. That's good to see. Yeah. I hope we see a lot of that this year from JMO. Everyone's basically healthy. One that stood out to me was Emmanuel Mosley was back at practice for the first time since he tore his second ACL.
Yeah, that was soon.
And I thought that was very encouraging too. And they had him playing nickel corner apparently.
And special teams. I'm like, he must be really coming along if he's on special teams already. That's good. That's exciting. His upside was, I think they were planning on him to maybe be the number one to Cam Sutton.
Well, imagine if he's healthy, so the competition
that would really make this competition hot.
I think there were a couple guys not showing up today. I think Davis was not there at corner.
No, Carlton or Robertson. Neither of our veteran additions were on the field today. It was all the rookies got to roll. So you had Rakestraw and Arnold and Melifon.
I think it's because maybe they didn't pass their conditioning test or something, because they came off the NFI, the non-football injury list, right after practice, I think.
They went on it at practice and then came off.
Yeah, probably because they didn't pass like the, sometimes that happens if they don't pass like conditioning or whatever.
Yeah, it wasn't like necessarily any kind of big flag, but yeah, like if they didn't meet some sort of standard or something to begin camp.
You know
camp,
what's a big
basically?
Flag to me? A red flag is that they don't pass the conditioning test coming into camp. That's a big red flag, isn't it?
Yeah, it depends on what's expected or that's one version. It could be other reasons too. Besides that, they said it could be like minor tweaks or injuries or just things that aren't even serious necessarily. But it's like there was a suggested list of things it could.
Sometimes
be.
I wonder if Campbell does it by design or he just wants to get the rookies in there. Let the vets sit for a practice or two and then just kind of throw them to the wolves in there, see how they handle it, and then, you know, bring the vets in. You know.
Well, I think you're definitely right. It makes it easier in the calculus. Just let the vets rest and no reason to push it. You got plenty of good things to learn from these rooks. Though, you know, there are some people starting to step up. Pascal, baby. I know he was flashing today with some speed and technique type stuff, which honestly, to me, is probably like the thing that will surprise people, because I don't think a lot of people realize he's the kind of guy who might be able to win with speed and finesse, because he's that type of athlete, because he's kind of blocky built and stuff, but he is a, you know, an explosive athlete. I'm very excited.
We have talked about him pretty much all preseason. If he can live up to his expectations, we might have a gem on our hands. In fact, they make a lot of comparisons with him to Marcus Davenport. Yeah,
I would say they're similar. Well, he's like a squatter version of Davenport. Like, Davenport's like 3 inches taller and probably got some longer arms. He's a kind of freaky, lanky dude, but their type of power in their game and explosiveness are similar. There's definitely a similarity to the way they influence the game. Just Davenport's got that freaky length that, you know, it's not that Pascal's short, but 6'3" doesn't quite, you know, scratch the freak range.
Well, that's true.
Anymore.
He's not a freak, but he was really looking strong at the.
Yeah. But he's a freaky athlete.
Yeah, he was looking strong at the end of last year. So if he just keeps that up, we'll be in good shape with them. So what else did you notice? They said Hutchinson looked in midseason form. That does not surprise me.
Yep,
Hutch is a freak. It was in his own right.
No, I think he's gonna be so good. Like he's that guy. Like that speaks to our culture, like represents the culture and everything Dan Campbell wants. That, like, he was a veteran from day one practically, and like I can only imagine what another off season after the confidence boost and everything last season had to give these guys. Like, you know, him, I feel like him and Jack Campbell are those two guys that you'd be like, as much as like everybody has probably got great work ethic, like those two guys, I just have like really high expectations to just see massive development from, because they just have that type of drive and desire.
Yeah.
So it's like, it feels like that's becoming more common to say about all these Lions players these days. So it's like, it's just the culture now.
Well, Peoples Jones did not practice today. I guess Antoine Green was repping with the starters today.
As number four. I like that. If he continues to develop, like, that would be ideal. I like homegrown talent. I'd rather him beat out Peoples Jones.
Did you guys see the quotes from like Dan Campbell's press conference about how like his like mentality, he doesn't want them to, you know, rest on like their laurels and don't want to lose their identity and not sacrifice it for anything?
Yes. In fact, I watched it, and he referred back to his tenure with the Giants, where he spent a couple of years there, and they went 12-4. I believe they went to the Super Bowl and lost, if I'm not mistaken. And they kept the team intact, basically. And they expected this team was going to finish it up the next year, and they wound up going 7-9. So, you know, it starts with little things like, you know, these guys, they feel a little like entitled. They may just take a little playoff here, or take a little easier practice here. These little teeny things that add up. Campbell is determined not to let any of that happen this year. So, yeah, I think Campbell's head's on straight, and I think he'll keep the heads of these players on straight too. I really do.
You know, that reminds me of, I feel like we learned that lesson with what year was it? It was like we were good and we thought we were going to be even better next year if we just kept the team together, and we've changed hardly a damn thing. Probably like 20 of like 22 starters. Do you remember that, UJ? And we just tanked the next year.
Oh, yeah.
It might have been the 0-16. I don't even know. It was bad, though. Do you remember that year, though? You know the year I'm talking about when we did that?
I think it was 2014 to 15 when we had that top defense. And
was that what it was? We just kept that team
basically intact the next year, and then we just tanked. I'm pretty sure that was the year.
Yeah, it's like...
But Campbell...
You have to bring new spice to a team. You have to bring new talent. You have to infuse your team with something new.
I agree, but Campbell is making a point that these guys know that you have to earn every bit of what they get. And then this year is not. Absolutely. It's all over. It's a brand new year, man. Nothing they did last year means anything anymore. It means zip, nada.
Nope.
And everyone else is getting stronger around us, so we have to get even stronger. And I think he's so cognizant of that. Yeah. He is not going to let this team slip in that category. So if they keep their minds on straight with our added talent this year, this is going to be just a dynamic team. I'm telling you, especially if the defense can improve. Oh, I don't know. What were we last year? I forget our ranking, but if we can be like a, you know, 10th, 12th best defense in the league with our offense being near the top, no one's going to stop us. I think we have actually a chance to be better than that. Oh,
we'll be dominant.
With our new secondary additions and
I agree.
Defensive line additions. I think.
I'm with you, Jay. The amount of talent in that backfield now on our secondary, I don't see how, like, a very high-end, like, you know, rotation doesn't come to fruition. Like, I just don't. There's too many good players with their hats in the, you know, fight to not have something impressive come out. And with the talent we have up front and in the middle, it's just like, right. Dear God, I don't see how we can't make a big jump. I mean, last year, like, we weren't, like you talk about what we need to get, like, a Super Bowl. We were literally the difference of, like, one play to make the Super Bowl. You know, maybe to win, we'd need, like, a 5% improvement. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you never know. Like, once you're in the game, it don't even matter. Like what overall performance, you just need to perform that one game. But, yeah, I think you're right. I think we could be, like, I foresee, like, us, the Lions, based on what I'm seeing, UJ, like, Super Bowl shuffle confidence.
Well, I'm kind of leaning that way, too. Future. But I'm taking this all with a grain of salt because I've been watching some highlights from last year's games, and I just happened to turn on the Bears game where we came back and won the game in the last couple minutes. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
The Bears.
No, I forgot.
We got a little lucky in that game, too. It wasn't just our great, awesome skill and our comeback ability. The Bears missed a couple wide open receivers down at the end. And I'm just saying, and you probably go back through the whole season and find little plays here and there where there's a little luck involved, too.
Sure.
But if we can take that factor out, we're not going to worry about a little luck that could go against us. If we are good enough to overcome any bad luck, if you know what I'm saying. Last year we had the good luck on our side, but it's not always going to be on your side. You know what I mean?
Yes, I agree. But I also think you put yourself in the position to get good luck, like, through proper preparation. And, like, that mentality that Dan Campbell is fostering is all about exactly what you're saying. It's like, you know, luck is great and we'll take it whenever we can get it. But, you know, what is it like? Luck equals preparation plus opportunity. Like, you have luck doesn't just come very often to people who don't put in the work. To like, the good teams seem lucky and get good luck because they put in the work to put them in the position to, you know, receive that luck. It's the best teams get lucky because they are good because they did what was required and they considered what Dan
Campbell makes sense when he's
saying now. And
that makes
and
sense.
You have
when
to, it made
no,
sense
you
the first time,
like that,
UJ.
Sense, but when you try to say it as like an old saying, it doesn't work. You know what I mean?
Well,
anyway.
Before you got silly, I was finishing my point.
What's UJ? UG, you know what most of those teams have too? They don't have Kendall Vildor on their team.
Now, are we laying the blame on Kendall Vildor for
what's your point?
Blowing that coverage against the Niners? Is that what you're doing, KJ? Come on now.
I'm becoming like a Kendall Vildor defender now because of people like you. The man was in perfect position.
Apologist now.
Hey, you can do a lot better.
Well, that's what we're talking about, the luck of the
luck. You can
the
do a lot
luck
better
than
Kendall Vildor is like you're like fifth or sixth.
That's what we were talking about.
Maybe.
Luck. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do think that game, that 49ers game, the way it all went down, I think you saw where, you know, Dan Campbell saw was he did the where they failed to prepare appropriately, where they didn't grow, where we were weak. And it wasn't necessarily a personnel thing. Granted, you know, it very much was our secondary shite last year. Like, it's just, you know, like, that was what it was. But it was the little things that killed us. Lack of concentration by Josh Reynolds, you know, like Kendall Vildor, like whatever that was. That might have been just the luck right there. That was a tough one, but maybe he makes a better play with get both hands up, man. I don't know. But, or like the Gibbs fumble. It was like those little things you take full accountability for, right? Like it seems like, Like, even if they seem like chance, but like that was the difference last year. It was they know that they didn't do enough. And that's, you know, that I'm sure that's part of what Dan's saying here. Like, as much as it took for us to get there, we didn't do enough last year to deserve that Super Bowl. And we're going to have to do that much more this year just to even get back to where we were.
Plus, you know, like, we got the target on our backs this year. We're not sneaking up on anybody this year. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I do,
dude,
too.
Dude, I freaking love it. Like, and I love that our division's getting, like, better. Like, I think our division's going to be downright, like, vicious over the next. Like, I think J.J. McCarthy is going to be a really solid quarterback. And he's going to have a ridiculous weaponry around him in Minnesota with Justin Jefferson, Alden, or Addison Smith, or whatever his name is, or what's that guy's name? But, you know, and Hawkinson. And then the Green Bay, that Love dude, was starting to look like he had that magic touch just like freaking Rodgers, and like with a bunch of weapons himself. Like, Caleb Williams, I have my doubts, but like if he turns out what some people think he can be, that Bears team's going to be hard.
Receiving,
their defense was rough last year, and I love it. We're going to be the top dogs in one of the baddest divisions.
Absolutely. The Bears receiving room is loaded. Caleb Williams is still a question mark, but, you know, he'll probably be pretty good. Jordan Love is holding out apparently right now. So I don't know if you heard of that. I think that's great. Oh, wow. I hope they pay him $500 million. I hope they pay him $1 billion. You know why? Because he'll be the billion-dollar bust. Because
he's
not
proved
that
anything
good.
Really.
They're gonna find out how not good he is when they go. You just watch. I think he's just way overrated. I'm sorry, but
overrated. Absolutely. Like, people were anointing him after that season. Granted, you know, he showed some impressive, like, intuitive instincts and touch and whatnot. But like, still, like, he was kind of a revelation to the league. The league always is slow out the gates to react to new players coming on strong. And not that he won't adjust this year and grow and be just as good next year, but like,
While we're talking about quarterbacks, I want to bring up Hendon Hooker. Now this is, to me, is one of the biggest battles in the camp this year. And that for that second string quarterback camp position, Hendon Hooker and Nate Sudfeld. Nate Sudfeld's a career backup. Obviously, he's pretty good at what he does in the quarterback room and such. But Hendon Hooker is a very talented young quarterback who really hasn't got a shot yet. And now this year, he is healthy. And from what I read for day one, started out a little on the rough side, but was starting to click with his receivers as the day went on. So I think it's just going to be really fascinating to see how he gels this year with his timing and his he has a great arm. He's super athletic. He can run. You know, he's got all those things that you want in a modern quarterback. It's just going to be really interesting to see if he wins that second string job over Sudfeld. I am very curious about this battle.
Okay, hold on a second. UJ, I agree with you on the topic, but I think the overall, it's not a battle in my mind. Like, he's already been granted the backup spot.
No, that's not true.
He is the number two.
That is not true.
Sudfeld's repping. Hold on. Let me finish my point. Like, he has. Well, he has. He's listed as two. And the thing is, I would title it as his development. Like, I don't think there's much of a battle there. I think they know who they want as their backup, and they're going to let him have some growing pains, you know, and Sudfeld's going to push him. But, like, I don't see it as much of a competition. I think as long as he, you know, just keeps putting in the work, he should be able to keep Sudfeld out of the picture, or, you know, relegated to that third man in the room. It's his development is the thing I see is really the highlight of it all. I mean, it's a battle. You're not wrong, but I just don't think it's much of one. And Sudfeld, I just don't see him.
Well, generally speaking, I agree with you. Except it seems like a lot of these teams in the NFL put a lot of value on an experienced backup quarterback in that room, you know, for whatever reason, to whisper in their ear or show them how to turn left or something, whatever they show them on the charts and boards and things like that. And Hendon Hooker is a very young quarterback. And, you know. So exactly. But I really think they want Hooker to be that number two guy. And I do, too, as a fan. Mm-hmm. I'd like to, if something happened to Jared Goff, God forbid, you know, we get a young stud go in there who can light it up a little bit. So, because I do not have that same confidence in Nate Sudfeld if he was to come in there and, you know what I mean.
So, or just excitement, really, honestly. Like, that's the thing. Like, it might not even be confidence yet in like what he brings, but it could. It's the excitement and upside that he brings out there. The legs, the arm, like his like college film is legit. Like, you know, it's just exciting. I you know, he might suck more than Sudfeld even might initially, but you'd want to see him go through some growing pains because of the upside. With Sudfeld, he might be more stable, but like, what's your upside there? Like, a guy who maybe doesn't throw a lot of interceptions, but can't push the ball. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. That's what I think. Like, there's just no upside in Sudfeld. Maybe that's
another thing. I was kind of know that the punt returning, they had Cleef Raymond out there. They also gave Rakeshaw some reps and Caden Davis, whoever the hell he is. So it's going to be interesting to see who they put back.
JMO get a rep too?
See Dorsey in the gunner role. Maurice Alexander took some snaps too as a returner. So I think that's a wide open battle right there.
I like Maurice Alexander back there.
Could go to anybody. That'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Well, like, I feel like there's got to be like a lot of like play testing this offseason, don't you think, with that kickoff thing? Like, don't you have to test that against yourself a little bit in practice?
Well, yeah, but this was the punch.
Strategies that
this is punch.
You feel might be
that,
some.
I don't even know. Even see anything where they worked on kickoffs in practice today.
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if all of those practice sessions are top secret nowadays. For the kickoff, you know what I mean? No, you don't want to give any edge on that right now. It's a brand new thing. Any ideas are secret.
So anyway, anything else interesting? It's only day one of practice, so you know, not a lot happening.
Craig,
I guess JMO puked his guts out, which is good to see. That means he's been running hard, working hard. He's pushing himself a little bit. So you know, I think that's a good thing, don't you? Plus, it makes him lighter. Makes him lighter and runs faster.
I heard he put on some muscle and stuff. He's looking good. So with Reader still on PUP. So Broderick Martin was taking reps next to Aleem McNeil with the one. But then when they went to different formations, Anzarike was the number one D tackle. So, I mean, Anzarike, I think Anzarike is way more in this hunt than a lot. I think a lot of people want to just almost like lazily put him and Pascal on like cut bubbles because they just haven't seen him yet. Like I don't know if people consider just the investment that this regime and the way these guys, the patience they have for these guys and the potential they see in them, you know?
Right.
I mean, not to say that they get a guaranteed spot on the roster or anything, but I think they very much have been, you know, encouraging them to have as much opportunity or giving them as much opportunity as they can to have that potential come to fruition. Yeah. And those two guys, and then by all metrics, they seem to be, you know, starting to come around in that regard. Like Anzarike is up to 315. He was like a 287 or something like that coming out. He was light. Now he's like slabbed on muscle. Freaking Pascal's just finally healthy and starting to look like the stud we expected him to be, that war daddy. Oh God, I'm so excited for him. I think he's gonna be the most slept on defensive player this year, and people are just gonna be like, where the hell did he come from? Because the biggest joke I always see is people don't even consider him when they have like these discussions, like who's gonna be opposite of Hutchinson, and they'll be like Davenport, Houston, and then they'll just forget about Pascal. Dude's about to. I think he's the one they envision there, and he started opposite of Hutchinson today, and so that was pretty nice. Sam linebacker. That sounds like they're making it a kind of a featured role or a unique thing. Derek Barnes getting play as a Sam linebacker. Like they're gonna. I think they're gonna use him. They're called like guys like 5-3 fronts or like where the Sam linebacker is gonna be like a hybrid like rusher slash, you know, it's going to be more of an aggressive position, I think, which will suit guys because you know who the backup is there is Houston, and I like that for him. Like I think that'll be the kind of role where those guys will just do the type of like generally vertical plays. I don't think they're going to do a lot of like read and react. I think they're either going to be rushing the passer or they're going to be dropping into like a short zone or something, you know, like the stuff that like Van Noy was supposed to do when we drafted him, but we tried to make him a read and react linebacker. And I'm excited about that. I think that'll be a really cool role for those guys and like really might even maximize the potential of those two. They're very athletic. So yeah, I think that's cool.
Yeah, for sure. I think with what you're just saying now and with the added talent this year, I think we may see a lot of new wrinkles on the defense this year. I think the Lions are going to keep it very close to the vest on what they're going to do. They might make it look kind of vanilla during the preseason. And I have a feeling we're going to throw a lot of new wrinkles at offenses this year. Surprise a lot of people. So it's going to be real fun to watch. It's hard to really talk about the linemen too much with day one of practice. And until the pads come on, it's really hard to see what those guys can do. Until they're hitting each other, actually. Yeah. So I think next week we should have hopefully a better idea who's stepping up and all that. And hopefully, you know, Anzarike and these other guys are doing what they hope they're all doing what we hope they do. but it's going to be really interesting. It was day one, but just touched.
Oh, Darius Fountain.
Oh, yeah, Fountain. I guess he was looking good in practice today. Hooker was hitting him a lot today.
Making some impressive catches and stuff. And he's supposed to be kind of a freaky athlete. Yeah. Didn't he come from the Chiefs, too? So he's come from a decent like line of coaching and stuff. Like, I think he's intriguing. Like, the way I heard it was like, what's his face? Better get back to like practice or else he might be finding himself on
People's
the outside
Jones?
Looking income cut time. People's
well,
Jones.
You know. And then the question is, too, do they keep six receivers or five, you know? So if they keep six, maybe he's got a good shot of making it. It's going to be interesting.
Well, hey, UJ, in your mind, who are your automatic top four right now, just assumed four at receiver?
J-Mo, Amon-Ra, Khalif, and Peoples-Jones are my four.
Oh, you're penciling?
Well, yeah, you're asking me right now. That's what I'm penciling in right now.
Okay. I don't know, man. I'm like, it's hard. I'm thinking like I'm right there. Kind of like, I feel like maybe he was that, but now that there's practice reps going underway and guys like Antoine Green are getting more reps, and I feel like Antoine Green's going to have a little more favoritism, not favoritism, but what, more encouragement from the coach. I think more desire to see him succeed, I guess, investment from the regime because he's a draft pick, you know, and we've been developing him for years. Like, maybe. Like, I don't know. He might take that inside track and beat him out, but I think that's I'm going to go with Antoine Green. I think he's the four right now, but just because like Peoples Jones isn't getting him to race right now.
I'd like to say Tom Kennedy, but it's not you know, being a realist, I don't think that's going to happen. Love the kid.
Maybe six.
Still hanging in there.
I just don't.
He's still having a career of playing football for the Lions, Tom Kennedy, even though mostly it's on the practice squad.
I know.
You just got to love that guy.
Because actually, the depth in that room is so interesting because you got guys like Isaiah Williams, too, and that kid from Duke. And like, there's some intriguing young talent in that room. Yeah. For what we lack in sure things, which, I mean, we're not terrible in the sure thing department. I think our top three of Amon-Ra, Jameson, and Khalif is honestly one of the better trios you'll find in the league and potentially to climb, especially as J-Mo ascends. That's going to, you know, his ceiling really will make that room just explode potentially. Like, that's if he comes into what we think he is this year, like, dear God. Him and Amon-Ra will just shred this league to ribbons.
Well, I don't know if there's that much other news out there right now. It's just, you know, day one of camp, and Campbell's got the right mindset. He did do his up-downs with the team again like he did last couple of years, so that was good to see.
Yeah, he did.
Purists might say he cheats a little bit, but hey, you know, I'm not going there.
I don't know. He kind of lets the whole team do sloppy up-downs, so I'm like, what the heck?
So,
we always had to jump up.
So that's good to see. But it'll be, as this camp goes on, I'm really curious to see how some of our new coaches do with the position players, how our defense starts unraveling, like the kind of things they're going to be throwing at other teams this year. It'll be real interesting to watch. Plus, you know, who's going to step up in these roles that we keep talking about. So, it's going to be a very fun camp to watch for sure. I can't wait. Can't wait to see as it develops here and see where we go with it. Any other thoughts, Jack, Red Dog on,
okay. Question. Who do you think's going to be the biggest camp darling? Not necessarily someone who even makes the team, but like just that guy who just wins over fans.
Okay, well, I'm going to say it right now, Maurice Fountain.
Ah, Darius.
Yeah, this kid. Every time I read about this kid, he's always doing something really good in practice. And you know, I believe he's an undrafted free agent. You know, I'm gonna go with him.
Is he undrafted?
So who do you think?
Well, undrafted, not this year. He came from the Chiefs.
Who do you think?
That's an interesting. I didn't have my answer.
Oh, way to go! You asked the question, don't have an answer. never ask a question you don't know the answer to.
I think Vaki's gonna. I think he's gonna be the guy who really impresses in preseason.
Mm.
I think he's going to win over a lot of people.
Well,
but I think like he's going to what?
No, go ahead. Finish your thought. I just I was going to add on to that.
Though it could. Okay, well, I'm going to take it back. Vaki, I feel like maybe is a little too hyped up already. Isaiah Williams. I think Isaiah Williams is going to make a lot of plays in preseason. And like. He'll be kind of like Tom Kennedy when we cut him because it's going to be like, he did literally everything we asked. But we just have too many good guys ahead of him.
Yeah. Well, now that we're back podding again, hopefully we can get the whole crew together. I think in the upcoming weeks, we're going to have a lot of predictions for you, a lot of reports on what's going on in camp.
Coverage.
You know, our predictions are always awesome. Probably the best, like, in all of podcasting. Everybody says so. Well, the best in podcasting. Our predictions.
Best ever.
Everybody says so. So, you know.
Well, hey, all I'll say is our record is exactly the same as the Lions' record. So, you know, I think it just speaks
for itself.
Yeah, I don't
think any other pod can say that. You know, and, you know, I know we took a little time off here and we're getting back in the swing as the season starts up again. But I just would like to remind podcasters that we have been doing this pod since the Lions were just gosh darn horrible. I mean, I believe it was during the early Patricia years, and we decided to create a podcast that took a more positive outlook on the Lions. And we went through those really bad, bad, bad years trying to give a positive outlook to things. And then look, all of a sudden, wow, they started winning. And then what happens? There's pods all out there now, you know, a bunch of people out there now, you know, but we're the best. We've been here longest. We have longevity.
Yeah,
you know,
give us a cookie.
We're like that old veteran. You know, we're like Tom Brady of podcasting. You know what I'm saying?
We're grizzled.
Is that a good analogy? I don't know. But I think we're.
Are you saying we're the goat of podcasting?
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that. So, anyway, Kid J, I think we're reaching that point now where we kind of just wrap this one up. There's not a ton to talk about with the first day of camp. I think we'll have a lot more to talk about. Anything you'd like to say here as we sort of wrap up here?
I think it's going to be a fun training camp, and you know, it's going to be really fun. See you guys, hear you guys talk about it up until the opening night when the Rams get the revenge on the Lions.
I knew you were going to say that.
Oh, you let it in, Pops.
I knew he was going to do that. I can't wait till we get to that game and our predictions. That's going to be a lot of fun.
I don't know if I can be as jovial with you, Kid Jay, because I hate that what you guys did in the draft this year. You took my favorite players out of Florida State. You got both of them.
I know.
Gosh darn it. God, I'm not gonna lie. Actually, like, I'm excited to see what those two do in the pros together. I mean, we'll destroy them. Penn A will take care of all that. I'm not worried about that. But like, I think those dudes are gonna like actually, Kid J, like, this is something I've thought about. Like, I think this might be the year where the Rams prove that like their whole burn the draft pick strategy really is like a viable one. Like, because it looks like they've almost like bounced back now. Like if those guys can replace like close to what Donald was for your defense and keep you guys, you know, solid on that side of the ball, Stafford and those weapons, you guys are going to be right back in contention again. I mean, you were in the playoffs last year.
Hey, so calm down, Red Dog. Calm down.
Ah, what's happening?
What happened to you? Just calm down. Jeez.
Well, I got to give him some props. I'm giving some props.
No, you
I mean,
don't.
We're going to be better and we'll beat you, but it's all right.
You don't have to give him props. What are you talking about?
You know, I'm like Donald Trump. I butter up my enemies before I destroy them.
They're a bunch of losers. You know, the Lions, we win. We win so much. People get tired of us winning all the time. You know, the Rams are a bunch of losers. Anyway. All right. I think on that note, it's the eternal on that note, we will end this podcast. And I'm really going to mess this up, Kid Jay. So if you're if you can correct me if you want to, but X, formerly known as Twitter, at Drinking Lions, right? Ah, Instagram
at Drinking Lions on Twitter. Yeah. Drinking Lions, or and then I'm at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid at on Instagram.
Yeah,
and then I'm and then email us at drinkingthebluekoolaid@gmail.com.
Yeah, and send us an email, like, right now. Think about it. And then you can find us anywhere there are podcasts, you know, and spread the word, you know, because this season, we're building up. We're off to a slow start, but it's the first day of camp. So this season is going to be a great season for the pod. We're going to throw some new wrinkles in there, and, you know, we've been talking about doing a lot of new things. It's going to be a lot of fun. So stay with us.
Hey,
we'll be back next week. We'll hopefully have the whole crew with us, and we'll go deep into what's going on in training camp, and as our Lions march forward down the field to the Super Bowl.
Oh, hey, buddy.
Oh, yeah. So what else?
And we'd like to thank our producer, KJ.
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 KJ. Ooh, it's hard with two people. Anyway, Kid Jay is the best in the business, and we'd like to thank him. And
best around.
Last but not least,
as
always,
go.
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.